2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Amen. Scripture says, there will be terrible times in the last days. Terrible times. How do you know that? Now is one of the terrible times. Do you think people in the time of Noah knew that they were in a terrible time? Do you think people who were escaping from destruction from in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah knew that, you know, terrible time were coming? And how do we understand the idea of facing terrible times? It says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People talk about last days when there are wars, rumors of all kinds of catastrophic events. Talk about last days. In verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Usually people don't know whether they are in a terrible time or not. What about you and I, the city that we live in? Maybe this is a description of where we live, right? And the time we live, right? Especially New York City. Actually, we have a lot of cities that are worse than New York City, right? Some people think New York City is like Sodom and Gomorrah, like that's like 60s and 70s, you know, description. Actually, the crime rate has been going down, so it's not actually about the crime rate. Okay, it is deeply related, but what is going on in the heart of people? That's what it is, right? It's about pleasure, right? It says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. The bottom line is this, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In verse 3, right? It says, lovers, verse 4, treasures, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Well, can you be both lovers of pleasure and lovers of God? Can you? What's wrong with pleasure? I mean, didn't you have pleasure to worship? Didn't you have pleasure to praise God? Pleasure to do something good? I guess depends what kind of pleasure you have, right? Very interesting verse in Proverbs. He who loves pleasure will become poor. And whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. What do you think about pleasure? I don't think it's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong having pleasure, right? But as long as the pleasure that you have is godly, right? If you are doing something out of obligation, right? That's good. But if you do something out of desire and pleasure, that's even greater, right? So we tend to do a lot of things out of your own pleasure, out of your own desire, voluntary things, that's great. I really want to let you know, whatever we do, every little transaction that we have in our church is based on pleasure and desire, so that we want you to volunteer, right? Rather than I ask you to do something, or somebody asks you to do something, right? Pleasure is a great thing, right? But sometimes if you look at everything that you do, almost everything that you do, maybe you can say, wow, it's amazing to see that I end up doing everything based on my own desire and pleasure. Like if I don't feel like doing something, I don't do anything, right? If I don't feel like doing anything, then I don't have to do that, right? Because I don't have any pleasure doing it, right? I think it's a good time to examine whether that is really biblical or not, right? That's why church became nowadays a department store, right? You just go through the directory, and if you want to buy luggages, you go to the basement, or something else, you go on third floor. Yes, just based on your need, based on your desire, just to pay your money and take your choice. And that's why you have so many choices, right? I'm not sure if that's ultimately a good thing. As I mentioned briefly before, pleasure is good. Yes. But sometimes pleasure can be a very dangerous thing, according to James passage. It says, James chapter 4, 2-4, it says, you want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that your friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Interesting thing is in verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Even if you deny, this is not me. It's not me, but it's not easy. Yeah. Pleasure is a very, very strong drive, right? If your life is pleasure-driven, which applies to almost every one of us, right? It'll be great if you have a strong desire. Like King Saul was a very typical example of being tragic hero in the Old Testament. He had desire to please God, right? What did he do? He did not listen to God carefully. What did he do? While God told King Saul, you should not save anything. You shouldn't take any plunder. You should destroy everyone when you had war against Amalekites. And then he did not listen because he had desire to sacrifice and save the cattle. Then he saved the best sheep for the sacrificial animals for the Lord. But that was the reason why God rejected him as king of Israel, right? So pleasure, it's like a double-edged sword. I mean, it has both. It has two faces, right? The pleasure is a good thing, By no means I want you to have a good pleasure, good desire to please God, and even thirst and hunger to please Him and to worship Him. That's really great. It's like a spring of living water. Like Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman who had five husbands, but she was not satisfied. We don't want to get into the detail because the Bible is not telling about the detail, right? We don't know who she was, except that she had five husbands. It was very, very unusual, right? And then Jesus was offering something. Well, I'll get you another husband. No, that wasn't his offer. What was his offer? The Father is looking for somebody who is really worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. He's looking for, he's intently, I mean, seeking somebody who would really worship Him. That was the answer, right? So she had desire, we don't know. Some people might think she's so messed up, she had so many, she's kind of past, but if you really listen to her conversation, she had knowledge of the Bible, right? What happened to her after she met Jesus? She went to the town and then threw the jar, the water jar behind, and then she was telling the people about Jesus Christ. I think she was really amazing woman, actually. Jesus' pick was the right one, always. And that's the reason why Jesus had conversation with her. So what do you desire? I mean, desire to worship God, desire to do a lot of great things, that's great. But when you don't have desire, then what are you going to do? When you don't feel like doing it, what are you going to do? That is the weaknesses that you and I share, right? Something in common, right? Yeah. That's the reason why God is asking us, that's reminding us that we live in terrible times because of the pleasure. Because of the pleasure that you have, you can come closer to the Lord. But because of the pleasure, you're worshiping your own pleasure and desire rather than worshiping God, right? You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So what kind of pleasure do we have to really get focused on? I found a really wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 11, 25. Jesus said, At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Maybe knowing the pleasure of Father wasn't your pleasure, wasn't your desire, right? But today, I'm going to make it very clear to you, this should be your desire, right? Amen? This should be your desire. Father's good desire should be my desire. Then what are you then? Then you are a partner with God. We call it partnership, right? Partnership is very, very different kind of level of commitment. Yeah. If you only think about benefit, I'm not sure if you can be a partner with God. But if you see, wow, beyond my pleasure, beyond my benefit, beyond what I can get out of this, I want to upgrade, I want to do more than that. That's when you are focused on the pleasure of the Father, right? And what's the description, all this? Jesus, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Reveal them to little children. What's the contrast? The contrast is between the wise and learned and the little children. I'm not saying the little children are not wise and learned. There are a lot of great children, right? But usually, children are not experienced and they are not wise. Maybe their wisdom is different, right? They have wisdom, but usually they are not experienced. They haven't learned enough. They haven't accumulated knowledge, but That's the contrast. But he did it on purpose because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned. And then he revealed them to little children. He chose little children because of their innocence, because of their sincere heart, right? And this is the reason, yes. Father, for this was your good pleasure. Right. So we are trying to shift from your pleasure, your good pleasure, I would say. But that can be shift from your pleasure to the pleasure of the Father. I think this is the reason why Jesus' ministry was so powerful, right? That Jesus was obedient, right? Jesus didn't want to take up the cross. Do you think Jesus really, really... Yes, he volunteered, but I think he tried not to take the cross. You know that, right? You know that, right? He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to take up the cross. He didn't want to die. Maybe Jesus didn't mind dying like a criminal. That's okay. It can be very glorious. But with my hands pierced with nails and all this, Jesus actually died out of dehydration. He didn't have water to drink. It was a painful death. Knowing that, Jesus was a tough decision, right? He didn't have any desire, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you can go against your desire, against your pleasure, in order to please God and His Father, and your Heavenly Father, then that's a wonderful thing, and that which is Father's desire, right? And then we can understand better now. It's 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. Wow. All things have been committed to me by my Father because He's obedient, right? No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to tell you one thing. From 28 to 30, all your weary and burdened will give you rest. Maybe this is one of your favorite passages, right? It's great to feel, something peaceful and great, a headache, stress. Yeah, but you have to read the preceding verses, right? What is it? Understanding the Father's pleasure, right? And obedience. When you obey God, some of the stresses will leave your system, right? So a lot of things that you, the stresses that you have accumulated is based on disobedience, right? Based on your evil desire, based on evil pleasures, right? But if you purge out all these things, then you will experience, yeah, as is, right? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. You will find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters in Christ, now, what is your prayer? How should you pray right now? Your prayer should be very simple and honest. What is your pleasure? And what shall I do according to your pleasure? Find very interesting verse
in Ephesians. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In other words, this year I'd like to focus on in accordance with His pleasure and will. He's saying you shouldn't be lover of pleasure, right? That's the reason why I want to get focused on good pleasure. I mean, His pleasure, right? And to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Think about Moses. What was his pleasure? What would be his pleasure when God was asking him to go to Egypt? What would be his pleasure? Not talking about it. That's the last place he would want to go. He kicked out of that place. The last place he would want to go. But God brought that up again, and then he asked him to go back and do the wonderful thing. Not really terribly wonderful for him, but he did it. Because Moses was very reluctant. He had to convince him, right? He had no pleasure at all. But what happened after that? He obeyed. Who wins? Father's pleasure always wins. And then in retrospect, you will understand God's will. Oh, this is the reason why He was asking me to do this. Especially when God asks you to do something against your desire. Oh, this is the will. This is how I obey Him. This is how I come closer to God. This is how I really get to know Him. You could easily say, I get to know Him because that's the way I expected. Well, this is exactly why it's a really, really great thing that I experienced something great. Ray, yes, that's really great. I want you to experience, as you are experiencing now, something great and as you expected. But sometimes God is asking you to do something that you don't want to experience. But that is Father's will. He made unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. Wow. According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. According to His good pleasure. So now your prayer should be this. God, I don't feel like doing this. But if this is your pleasure, give me some time. That's a good prayer, right? Instead of saying, I will always do anything for you. I will always fulfill your desire and your pleasure. I always do that. If that's your really, really sincere and really sincere prayer, that's great. But if you do this because you have a habit of doing that, you lose the credibility from God, right? God's not going to listen to you anymore, right? Because you're saying that, but you don't really act like that, right? But if you say, I know it's very tough. God, you're asking me a wrong person. I know I don't want to do this, but I'm trying to be obedient and I need more time. This is wonderful prayer. This is how you communicate, right? But if you say, you forget about who you're praying to, right? Just to pray on your own, this is not a dialogue, right? This is the monologue, and this is not even prayer. This is a religion, it's a ritual, it's not even it has nothing to do with relationship with God, right? How do you pray? Just be honest, right? Just come as you are, right? If you have struggles and whatever, just to tell Him, yes, this is how you will even start conversation with Him, right? But always get focused on His will and His pleasure. If you read Psalms, the beginning of the Psalms, we have a lot of lament Psalms and all different kinds of Psalms. The beginning of Psalms, a lot of times goes with some kind of sense of urgency, sense of emergency, some kind of something happened. Oh God, how can you do that, right? But at the end of the Psalm, always, almost always conclude, like, yet, I will praise the Lord, right? Yet, I will praise the Lord, right? What did Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done, right? You think you can do it? Pleasure is a big thing. If I say your life is pleasure driven, that's not exaggeration. No. That's why a lot of people who are trying, I know a lot of people are trying to retire early so they can have fun the rest of, you know, their lives. Why? You should be different. Some people say that, but the reason, if you early retirement is a great thing, I want you to just to stay home and just, yeah, great. But what is the reason behind? You need to have a purpose of doing it, right? If that's your short-term project, short-term goal, and why are you doing that? Are you doing this for God's glory? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So that you can spend more time pray, spend more time working for the Lord, for the body of Christ, spend more time doing really the things that you really want to do, because your 9-to-5 is not what you really want to do. So after I retire early, then I really want to do what God wants me to do. That's a wonderful dream, right? That's a wonderful dream. You know what? That's not difficult. But whenever God asks you, don't get me wrong. God is all, usually God will ask you to do things that you would want to do, right? But sometimes God will be asking each one of you to do something against your will and against your pleasure and against your desire. And are you ready to face God when He asks you to do that? Let's pray together. We admit that our lives based on pleasure, pleasure-driven lives, going with the flow. But today we learned the difference. Father's will is the bottom line. Father's will and obeying the good pleasure of the Father counts more than what our pleasure does. Thank you so much for this message. And I will let you pray your prayer right now. Father, some of us are committed to do anything according to your good pleasure. And some of us are praying about it, Father. I pray that your abundant blessing would continue to rest upon those who are obedient. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.